Hey folks, this is John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I used to record right here in my vehicle, but sometimes it's virtual Mondays and we wind up teaching from home, about all things teaching related, right? So here we go. And it's the end of our school year, so it's a good time to talk about looking back as we look ahead. More on that in a second, but first things first, if you like what you're hearing, feel free to like or subscribe, leave a comment. It helps me get in touch with other cool teachers, and it helps other teachers get in touch with me. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, likewise, I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU, and I talk about new teaching techniques, new innovative stuff in the education field, pretty much all things geeking relating to teaching. I don't pretend to be the expert. I just am a guy who spends a lot of time trying to figure it out as an instructional coach, as a classroom teacher, as a writer, as a consultant, a researcher, presenter. I have a website. It's adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline, because I'm fired up to teach, and I want to do better at that. That has all the templates and resources related to the book I wrote called Adrenaline Rush. It's all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. And now I spend most of my days hanging out on emc2learning.com, which is a membership site designed to engage at the speed of life. The product of the combined work of myself and Michael Matera and hundreds of teachers all around the world with game-based learning and project-based learning, student-centered learning, stuff that we think is pretty awesome. But I want to talk about awesome today. EMCGLearning.com is certainly one of the awesomer things I've ever done in my life. But I also want to talk about how I get awesomer. And that's not because I think I'm great. In fact, if you are not awesome, to be even a little bit awesomer gets you one step closer to that goal. That's a good thing. I had a chance over the past week to read a book by the Teach Better team. It's actually called Teach Better by Chad, Jeff, Tiffany, and Ray. Shout out to the Teach Better team. Hooray. And I like that motto about Teach Better. It's not about like being the best or being the greatest of all time. It's about being better today than you were yesterday and better tomorrow than you even are today. Again, step by step by step, incremental movement towards those goals. I love that. As an instructional coach, I do a lot of reading about teaching. I had a chance to like I said, read the Teach Better book this weekend. And then I was also reading Jonathan Alzheimer's book, called Next Level Teaching. So yeah, I do a lot of the teaching and reading about teaching. And even if you just walk away with one good kernel from any PD that you come from, you're a little bit better, one step closer to awesome. Again, I don't pretend to be an expert. I just pretend to be somebody who puts a lot of time into it. And one of the things that I found in my travels, in my teaching journey, in the decade plus time I've been doing this, the classroom thing and the instructional coaching thing, is a really cool tool from a company called Panorama Education. They put together an end-of-year survey, which is co-sponsored or, I guess, co-funded or co-developed by the Harvard School of Education. And at the end of the year, surveys are great ways to kind of look into, like, under the hood about how you do in your classroom and how you could do better. Again, not that you're the awesomest or the worst teacher, but it's a nice spectrum of feedback and data points that says, hey, you're doing well in areas A, B, C, and D. Something to consider in areas X, Y, and Z, or maybe places for improvement could be 1, 2, and 3. They have a paid subscription service you can certainly pay for and subscribe into, and your whole school can do it. Panorama Education. I think Ashton Kutcher actually, yes, that Ashton Kutcher. He's one of their angel investors who made that software possible. He's actually a really cool human who's done a bunch of great things, both in education and in anti-human trafficking. He's certainly a lot of things that make him an awesome person. But I think it's funny that I think about, the most unlikely of sources helping us become more awesomer at teaching. But Panorama Education is good. And every year, for the past 5 or so, I try to end my year with a survey. Now, full disclosure, I use surveys for my students at the end of every single unit. So our units last about 3 weeks, give or take. And I will have those to help me calibrate the next unit of study. Those are simple Google Forms. You can certainly use SurveyMonkey and other easy on-site developed versions of it. But I love using the Panorama Education ones at the end of the year because for the Panorama Education ones, I go totally anonymous. And there's benefits to having a student data attached. There's also benefits to being totally anonymous with things. When you go with the anonymous things, people tend to be more honest for sure, right? Benefits when you're having names attached to it is you can find individual kids who might be having individual problems, then you can target and pinpoint and improve. But if you wait till the end of the year to do your student survey, you've spent a whole year with lettuce in your teeth, right? On a date, not knowing that you had that green leafy thing poking out the whole time, only to get home and say, wait a minute, really? All night that's been there? what a clown. So I love the idea, if wherever possible, to get that feedback from my students. So like I said, about 8, maybe 10 surveys a year they'll get from me. They're short, you know, 5 minutes at the end of a unit, whether we do like, we don't do tests in my classes, but we do assessments, projects and things like that. Students self-reflect. They talk about if they had to give themselves a grade, it would be X, Y, or Z. Or if they had to say one thing they were really proud of, it would be A, B, or C. Or things that they look forward to fixing or working on. Students really try to grade themselves. And I have the benefit of working in a high school where there's a little bit more ownership of one's own education at the junior level of high school. I'm an honors class. But I do think schools around the world do well to do more of that. The person who's doing the reflecting on the learning is going to be the one who does the learning. So I do a lot of that coaching, just like I do as an instructional coach. I do it with my students. Hey, what are you working on? What are you proud of? What can we do better? Where do you want to focus? Okay, let's do it. You want to set some goals for yourself? Let's rock and roll. But at the end of the year, I use the Panorama question set, and I think they're good. So I'm going to actually go under the hood today. And it's not like my usual, I guess, extemporaneous talking through podcast, but this one is going to look at specific question items from the Panorama Education set. I think they're good, and I wanted to read them for you today because I think that they're of a value, and it helps me get a better picture of who I am as a teacher. Feel free to steal any of these questions you like. They're available on the Panorama Education website. But my year-end student survey starts with a quote that says, "The questions in the survey were developed by a company called Panorama Education in conjunction with the Harvard Graduate School of Education. Your feedback will be completely anonymous." And it's just a Google form, though you can certainly do it on a written piece of paper. Most of the questions have like scales of 1 to 5, but they make students, instead of like just multi-select, you know, click, 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 they're actually drop-down menus. So that's good, because then they actually have to take a little bit more time to interact with each question. First question says, how much does this teacher know about their topic? Almost nothing, a little bit, some, quite a bit, a tremendous amount. Right? They have to pick, and then they move forward. During class, how good is this teacher at making sure students do not get out of control? Right, on a scale of 1 to 5, from extremely good to not so good. How interesting does the teacher make what you are learning in class? From not at all interesting all the way up to extremely. How often does the teacher give you feedback that helps you learn? From almost never to almost always. How good is the teacher at teaching in the way that you personally learn best? From not at all to extremely. How well can this teacher tell whether or not you understand a topic? For this class, how clearly does this teacher present information that you need to learn? The next question says, how comfortable are you asking this teacher questions about what you're learning in their class? Next question here is about overall, how much have you learned from this teacher about this topic? And these are all about pedagogical effectiveness. The next couple questions deal with classroom climate, student perceptions of the overall social and learning climate of the classroom. First question there says, how often does your teacher seem excited to be teaching your class? From almost always to almost never. How fair or unfair are the rules for the students in this classroom? How pleasant or unpleasant is the physical space of this classroom? Some of that this year we certainly couldn't control with social distancing, but it's important to note that students have a relative frame of reference, and if your class is less pleasant than other classes they've been to, maybe they can give you an idea about why. How positive or negative is the energy of this class? That might sound squishy, but that if you believe you can, if you believe you're excited to be there, it makes it a lot easier to sit for 60 minutes or more, right? In this class, how much does the behavior of other students hurt or help your learning? In previous years, I've done a ton of group work, projects and teams and competitions. Things like that can be really helpful for many students. Or maybe it doesn't. You know, good feedback there. The next set of questions here about classroom rigorous expectations. How much students feel that a specific teacher holds them to high expectations around effort, understanding, persistence, and performance in class. So the first one says, how often does this teacher make you explain your answers? On a scale of almost never to almost always. When you feel like giving up on a difficult task, how likely is this teacher going to make you keep trying? I hope to always get extremely likely on that one. I think that's a good goal of a good coach and a good teacher. How much does this teacher encourage you to do your best? How often does this teacher take time to make sure you understand the material? Overall, how high are this teacher's expectations of you? Again, moments of self-reflection, it really helps students to see that it's not just meat through a grinder, you know, the idea that they're seen as individual people. The question about classroom engagement now comes to this next section. It says, how attentive and invested are students in this class? The first question says, how excited are you about going to this class? Question 2, how often do you get so focused on class activities you lose track of time? Question 3, in this class, how eager are you to participate? Question 4, when you're not in this class, how often do you talk about it? Next question here says, overall, how interested are you in this class? And again, just little things to help kind of, you know, set the table before we go from engagement to like those more personal questions. Now the questions immediately shift to the personal for classroom teacher-student relationships. And it says how strong the social connection is between teachers and students helps them learn better. Question one, how respectful is this teacher towards you? Question two, if you walked into the class upset, how concerned would your teacher be? Question three, if you came back to visit 3 years from now, how excited would this teacher be to see you? Question four, when your teacher asks how you're doing, how often do you feel that they really are interested in your answer? And question five, how excited would you be to have this teacher again? Moving from the idea of teacher to student relationships to like how students feel about the class in general, the next couple questions deal with classroom belonging. Question one is, how well do people in your class understand you as a person? Ooh, right. Then it says, how connected do you feel to the teacher in this class? How much respect do students in this class show you? How much do you matter to others in this class? Overall, how much do you feel like you belong in this class? And they're not talking about like grade level, right? Or like, you know, ability level. They're talking about like those human moments. I say it over and over again, that this class is fundamentally different because you showed up today, that you have a space here, that you're seen as a human being, and you have changed the trajectory of what this class was going to be. I really try to get good marks in this category because I think it's something I value really high. Talking about value, the question about value of subject, the next couple of questions say, how interesting do you find the things that you learn in this class? How often do you use ideas from this class in your daily life? How important is it to do well in this class? How much do you see yourself as a blank person? So like an English person or a science person, a math person. How useful do you think that course content will be to you in the future? And it shifts to a question about a differentiation, scaffolding, about learning strategies. It says, when you get stuck while learning something new in the class, how likely are you to try a different strategy? How confident are you that you can choose an effective strategy to get your work in this class done well? Before you start on a challenging project in this class, how often do you think about the best way to approach the project? Overall, how well do your learning strategies help you learn this content more effectively? And then the last question in this section says, in this class, how often do you use these strategies to learn more effectively? Right? Adapt and overcome. Mike Tyson, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. I think that's really good, helping students adapt that growth mindset and that self-sustaining ability, even after I, the teacher, am not there to do the work with or for them. The next set of questions is actually, it's like a rank on a, do you believe it's not at all possible to change or completely possible to change? And there are six questions here. They talk about classroom mindset, and it says perceptions of whether students have the potential to change those factors are often central to their performance in class. So the question here reads, whether a person does well or poorly in class may depend on a lot of different things. You may feel that some of these things are easier for you to change than others. In this class, how possible is it for you to change? Question one, being talented. Question two, liking the subject. Question three, your level of intelligence. Question four, putting forth a lot of effort. Question five, behaving well in class. Question six, how easily you give up. In the next section, we talk about our course content. So those are questions I kind of edit for my own needs every year. But then I kind of end this piece before the free response questions with some big picture questions, which allow students a chance to reflect on how the course experience relates to other classes they might have taken. So I teach an English honors class for juniors, but I have taught freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors from the college prep, general ed classes, all the way up to the honors AP style classes. So this helps them kind of calibrate their relative experience, both in terms of the content and in terms of the track, if that makes any sense. And I'll explain it as I get to the questions here. So the first question, this idea about big picture, says, this material in this class was harder than other English classes than I have taken in previous years. Then question two says, this material in this class was harder than other AP or honors classes I have taken this year. Get the hang of it, right? Question three, the pace of this class moved faster than other English classes in previous year. Question four, the pace of the class moved faster than other AP or honors classes I've taken this year. Next one says, I've been expected to work harder in this class than in other English classes I've taken in the past. Then the paired question with that is, I've been expected to work harder in this class than in other AP or honors classes I've taken this year. The next one is, I felt more supported in this class than I have in other English classes I have taken in the past. And then again, the counterpart, I feel more supported in this class than I have in other AP or honors classes I have taken this year. in general speaking, it says, I feel more supported in this class than I have in other AP honors classes I have taken overall. The assessments in this class were harder than other English classes that I've taken. That's one of those rare moments where I actually want students to maybe disagree. I want them to feel like the tests were easy because they got really, really good at test taking without realizing they're being tested. But then the question behind that says, the assessments in this class were harder than other AP or honors classes I've taken this year. Because I always say, like, your favorite class is the one that you like the most. Your best class is the one you learn the most. My goal is to make my class both of those things, and you don't even realize it. Here comes the airplane. The last couple questions here says, I've learned more in this class than in other English classes I've taken. I've learned more in this class than I have in other AP or honors classes I've taken this year. I've enjoyed this class more than other English classes I've taken. I've enjoyed this class more than other AP or honors classes I've taken this year. And then for the home stretch here, I really just drilled down to like the soft skills, which I don't think are soft at all, about what my class was designed to do. I always say, like, we're not teaching content, we're teaching people. These are the skills I want my students to walk out of the class, not the main character's name of the book or the details and the symbolism. I'm trying to teach them how to read, how to write, how to speak, how to present, how to be empathetic, compassionate, curious, kind. This is the type of stuff that I kind of land the plane with here at the end. So it says, I'm more critical and precise, and I look more specific evidence and text when I do independent reading. Do you strongly agree or strongly disagree? I find myself asking deeper questions when I read or discuss literature. I'm more confident in my writing ability and my technique. I'm more confident in my research paper and organizational skills. I'm more confident and comfortable in taking part in class discussion or dialogue. I'm more confident in tracing broader themes across multiple texts and making text-to-text connections. I'm more confident in my planning, pacing, and deadline-making skills. And overall, I feel that this course either fell short of my expectations or greatly exceeded it. Then students have a chance to sound off, say all the great things they loved or hated about me. And because it's totally anonymous, they can say what they want, swing for the fences. I think this stuff is awesome, and it makes me awesomer. So I encourage you, check out Panorama Education. It is my favorite thing for giving end-of-year surveys. And I take those same questions. Again, you say that you value what you measure, and you measure what you value, to backwards design my class. And I know at the end of the year, if this is the test I'm going to be tested on, I want to make sure that I'm hitting each one of these indicators every single day for every single kid. Bold, aspirational stuff, for sure, but it helps me to teach better. Again, a call back to the book. And I'd love to hear if you have similar strategies or tools or techniques that work for you. So again, Panorama Education, the Teach Better book by the Teach Better team. And hit me up on Twitter at @mehanedu. Find me at emc2learning.com to change the game at the speed of life. And let's connect, let's hang out, and talk soon. Be safe, be well. See you next week.